What don't I know that you face to be the successful entrepreneur you are as a woman that I would have no idea?
Why aren't you guys taking action? Let's go. Like, you gotta fail, you're gonna fail forward. Quit getting ready, quit aiming, you need to fire.
Own your future, because if you don't, someone else will. Welcome back to the Own Your Future podcast. Before I introduce our guest today that I'm so stoked for you guys, she is a powerhouse in so many ways, and get your pens ready. Well, if you're driving, just remember some of the cool stuff you're going to learn. But first, I have to say thanks again. This week, once again, we are at the top of the charts in our category. We've been number one again this week, and it's because of you. Thank you. I give you my word, I will do my best week after week to bring you incredible guests to try to ask the right questions so you can gain the skills to tap into that full potential. So I just wanted to say thank you. Make sure you subscribe, follow, share with a friend. Let's keep this momentum alive at a time when people need it the most. Okay, today's guest, she is one of the top 1% of coaches nationwide. She's been a top 1% real estate agent for over 25 years. She is the author of 5 best-selling books and a whole bunch of other stuff. I got to tell you, I had the chance to meet this incredible woman about a year ago when she decided to support a launch of a product Tony Robbins and I were going to do. I had never heard from her before, never, you know, just wasn't in my space. We had a mutual friend introduce us, and I watched this woman go to work and get things done at a hyper speed. Being one of the top affiliates for our launch, she won some cool stuff. One of it was a day of consulting with us. We spent a day together. And what I love, and one of the things I want you to take from her today, is her speed of implementation. She asked amazing questions. She knew what she wanted. She left here within a week. I watched her actually taking the uncomfortable action and making it happen. It resulted in a whole new division of our company. She's crushing it. And I'm so excited to have Krista Mayshore on the show. What is up, Krista?
Thanks, Dean. I'm excited to be here. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Yeah, listen, it's been fun. Literally a year ago, I didn't know you. We had a dear friend introduce us. And it's been fun watching you grow and how much you hustle and the work that you do. And I have the privilege of understanding your backstory a little bit. We all have a backstory, don't we? And then we got to spend a day of consulting here. And watching you take what we talked about that day and put it into play has been amazing to watch. I respect that so much. So thanks for being here.
You know, you gave me some great advice when I was there. And I learned actually from you and from Tony that you should learn from people that have done the thing that you're trying to do. Ask the who, not the how. And you gave me some of the best advice, which was to launch and just split the proceeds. And so I did that, and it's been amazing. So I'm super excited that I went there and I did it.
Yeah. Well, listen, hey, today, this podcast, we've it's been so much fun, and we've had such great guests on, I'm trying to dig into the capabilities that help every single listener take what serves them, implement it in your life. You could throw the rest away, but every single one so far has delivered capabilities to help. And I know it'll be the same today. Here's what I start each one with the same question. And I love it because it's never been even close to the same. We call this the Own Your Future podcast, because in my opinion, it's really personal to me. If I don't own my future, somebody else is gonna. And I watched someone else own my parents' future, and I just decided that wasn't going to be me. Before we get into some of the questions I have for you today, what does it mean to you to own your future?
It means completely taking responsibility for everything. And, you know, read this book one time called Extreme Ownership. And anything and everything that happens to you is from a decision that you made or didn't make. And so owning your future is every decision that you make right now is what your future is going to look like. So you need to ask yourself the question, like, is your future self? In fact, Dr. Ben Hardy wrote a book on this, Your Future Self. And it talks about, like, every decision that I'm making is a representation of how committed I am to the outcome that I want.
Yeah. Well, here's a question for you. Sometimes a decision is not making a decision at all.
Ooh.
Right? Because how many of us have said we want to do that thing, fix the relationship, start the business, scale the business, finally put myself out there, start my social media. But when you don't make the decision to move forward, isn't that a decision too?
Oh yeah. Well, you're making the decision pretty much to fail before you even start, right? By not starting. And I think one of the things I've noticed, because right now I'm working with higher level entrepreneurs who I would have thought, like from the outside, looks like they've got everything going on, but they have the same fear that real estate agents have. It's like, they're afraid. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid of failing. They're afraid of not doing it right. But if you don't start, you can't learn how to modify, adjust, tweak, or change. And I think so many people are so afraid of like doing things incorrectly or making mistakes that they won't even start.
So let me ask you, what gets you to move so quick? I know some of your history and you know, you've gone through some tough times in your life, and now from one of the top real estate agents really in the country to one of the best direct response marketers to coaching real estate agents to be in this industry. But when you are here, you are asking about your next level, right? You're not looking to stay where you are. You're like, I've mastered being a real estate agent. I've mastered being a coach. Now I'm ready to take my company to another level. You left here and you took action on something new. I know that's a part of your MO right now. That's a part of your, if your family was describing you, they'd probably say, oh my God, Krista's crazy. She gets an idea and she just goes and does it. But that probably wasn't always the case. And I'm sure there's hesitation or some fear when no one's watching. If right now there's, let's just say there's a woman out there, thousands of them, men too, but let's just say you're picturing one woman who has a desire, maybe where you used to be, Krista, and she wants to do it, but she's hitting fear, uncertainty. In today's world, we call it imposter syndrome. Whatever that thing is, she failed in the past. She went through a relationship and her ex told her she'd never amount to anything. In some way, that's sticking in there. Or her parents told her, doing your own thing is crazy. You'll go bankrupt. And she feels this desire. She wants to move forward, but doesn't even know what's like tethered to her back, holding her back from moving forward. You've seemed to break through that. Is there some advice you could share on what makes you take action even when you don't know the end result?
You know, I think a lot of it does have to do with my history. And a lot of that, quite frankly, is I didn't feel like I was good enough. So whenever you have, and I say this, I actually asked for permission from my mom to share this story because it's basically not just my story, it's hers as well. But my mom, who I'm very, very close to now, was almost like I lived in two different families, right? I had this very happy family where we'd go on vacation and we would, you know, do things together. And my dad was the most amazing, loving husband, dad in the world, and quite frankly, husband to my mom. And then I had an abusive mom, and she was pretty severely abusive. I remember I asked her once, hey, mom, is this memory real? It was a memory of me being held by my feet in the bathtub and like with my head hitting against the bathtub and with the water and like almost like drowning, quite frankly. And then I remember my mom crying, but afterwards and like saying how sorry she was. But I think a lot of it comes from that. And just almost like I'm learning not to be this way now, but trying to prove that I'm good enough, if that makes sense. And I think a lot of times I have to even still remind myself, and it's weird, even lately, just being in this like man, more of a man's world. It's a weird thing, you know, but I'm really, really very, very hyper-focused on my mindset. It's a really big deal to me. I was forced to, based upon, you know, when you have a parent that's abusive, it really does kind of, the whole feeling worthy is something I've had to really work with. And perfectly, I still do. I was just telling you how nervous I am to go, you know, in 2 weeks from winning that launch to spend some time with you guys all, because I'm sort of like the underdog in the room, you know, like everyone else is millions of followers and there's Krista. So it's something I still think I have to deal with, but it's mostly from that. I think it's just trying to prove even to myself that I'm worthy, as weird as that might seem.
Yeah. Okay. So let's dig into that. Not that today's a therapy session, but I love when things like this come up, but really think about that is you've moved forward so fast, probably trying to run away from the person you used to be. I understand that because I've been there. You wanted to probably be more in control. So you didn't have to. No one would ever abuse you again. No one would ever be in charge of your decisions. Does that sound right?
Yeah, very, very, very much.
Right? And simultaneously trying to prove yourself. But here's what I want to share is, and I probably got some of this from Tony Robbins, the whole life happens for us, not to us. I love that. It's my favorite line of Tony Robbins in the history of the world. And the only thing I would love to share with you today, Krista, and maybe everybody watching, is I know you said you move forward trying to prove yourself, But I'd love for you at this age, at this time in life, maybe today look at that differently. Is what a blessing that was that allowed you to move away from that horrific experience. Because there's a lot of people that were physically abused and sexually abused and mentally abused and a lot of other abuses that it sticks with them forever and it becomes the anchor they can never get away from. And maybe they turn to a lifetime of drugs or a lifetime of drinking to numb the pain or a lifetime of relationship after relationship. And I know you've had your experiences moving away from that abuse, but look where you landed. You know, I know those awards behind you, if you're listening, she's got a bunch of awards behind her on sales and direct response. To me, that shows all the lives you're impacting. You help real estate agents all around the world thrive and do better even in a shifting economy. You're impacting the world. You're impacting your personal family. Today, heck, you're impacting tens of thousands of people. Listen to this day one of this podcast. Look at that pain. You said, I didn't think I was good enough. I'm trying to prove myself. It made me move so fast. But maybe there's a different way to look at that. What if that was designed for you so you could be right here to have the success you achieve, the family you have, and look at the lives you get to impact? And the only reason I'm sharing that with you, I'm not trying to make this a therapy session, is because there's so many people listening today right now with similar stories. And they're not realizing that it's still a little bit of an anchor with just a quick frame shift, a different context, a different pre-frame. All of a sudden it's like, oh no, that hasn't been my anchor. That's been the fan. I just haven't turned it on to be the wind behind my sail.
It's so funny you say that because my mom, I told her just that. So she had a breakdown 2 years ago because just from the guilt, you know, because I haven't lived at home since I was 13. So I was juvenile hall, group home, foster home, you know, and she just has this incredible guilt. And I said to her, Mom, the reason that all that happened was so that I could, because now, as you know, I'm also helping other entrepreneurs. And I said, it's because of that, because of my situation. I call it God, the universe, whatever you believe in. Don't let the word get in the way of the message. But I believe that that all happened to me for a reason, because I have achieved great things. And I always tell people, listen, I'm just the kid that wet the bed until she was, you know, 10 from the abuse, had a learning disability, hasn't lived in a foster home. That's who I am. And so if I can do it, you can do it. And so I really believe that that happened to me for that reason, because it's like, if I can do it, anybody can.
Well, Krista, I've seen some of your ads lately. Now that we know each other and I've had the chance to meet you, I've watched your ads and watched what you do. And in those ads, it shows this powerful woman who's got a multi-million dollar business, who's independent, who's strong, who's taken their business to another level. The reason I say that is sometimes from the outside looking in, you wouldn't know that you went through physical abuse, that you lived in foster homes, that, you know, it took some time to find your groove, to find your balance. And I believe sometimes we are crippled or paralyzed or held back because we have this innate fear, this worry, this thing, I'll be found out, I'm not that good, whatever that is. I would love to ask you, even though you've had all this amazing success, is there something still in the invisible that you worry about, that no one would think that you still hold on to, or a fear or a belief that you have to prove wrong all the time?
You know what? It's almost like sometimes I feel like I'm two people, if that makes sense. I'm this super strong powerhouse who's very confident and has the best mindset. But it's like I'm fighting with that good and bad wolf a lot of the times, you know? So I have to remind myself still that I am good enough. I am worthy. This is real. I deserve this, you know? It's probably something I will always struggle with, and I'm fine, you know, admitting that, because we're human, right? We're human. And so I think it makes me part of my success is the fact that I am so like that. You know, I'm very, very vulnerable, very authentic. I'm myself. I'm just, you know, but I'm not afraid to fail, though. I'll tell you that. Like when I sat at your office and told you my plan, and you had said, let me ask you a question. You need to make sure your first company is in check. And I said, for the past 18 months, I've gotten that ready, which reminds me of another question I wanted to ask you. But I launched, and that was really scary, because now I'm not just dealing with real estate agents. Now I'm teaching like other entrepreneurs who are very highly successful, right? And then there's me. So I've had to deal with that even more lately, probably, than ever before. But what I'm realizing is that people are just people. And even the most successful people, they still have issues with their belief, right? And so I'm watching these these people who are supposed to be these influencers and have all these, this list and all this following, they're having a hard time just putting 100 people in a room, right? Yeah. And then they lack the confidence of it. And so today's coaching call was, why aren't you guys taking action? Let's go. Like, you got to fail. You're going to fail forward. Quit getting ready. Quit aiming. You need to fire. You know, wealth has a need for speed. Money likes speed. And I always tell my students that. And it's so, so true, because for successful people, one of the traits, you know, Napoleon Hill has the successful traits. And one of them is people that are quick action takers, quick to take action. I remember you sending me a Voxer message saying, holy moly, you launched so fast. Right. And it's true. I mean, most of the time, people that are successful will have made 10 decisions, and 8 of them might have been bad, or 7 of them might have been bad, but 3 were good. And the other person is still thinking about it.
Yeah. Right. It's so true. It's so true. Some people will contemplate and over prepare and overthink until the energy goes away, until it never becomes realized. So I love that message today. It's like, you know, jump out of the plane, grow wings on the way down. When people say it takes confidence to move forward, I think they're missing something. They're missing what comes before confidence. And what comes before that is the courage to move forward. Courage, you don't gain confidence until you're in the game. Courage is stepping off the sidelines and actually getting in the game, even though you don't feel prepared, right? And I love Theodore Roosevelt's man in the arena quote, right? It's like, it's like, get out of the stands. Stop wearing someone else's name on the back of your jersey. Stop pretending you're in the game and you're not. Don't criticize the people in the game. Just get your butt out of the seat and walk down and get in the game. Get bloodied, get marred, figure it out as you go. And I think you're such a prime example of that. And I know some of you listening right now say, no, but you don't understand how scary it is. I do. Been there, guilty, absolutely guilty. And I also know that winners have to do stuff while they're still scared. You know, I had the blessing of meeting Michael Jordan about 7-8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago now. And we had dinner together. We drank a bottle of Pinot together. And it was awesome. And I got to ask him, I grew up on Michael Jordan. So it was so much fun to ask him about games and what his favorite game was and the championship game. And when he got sick and was throwing up all over the place. And he said something to me that made me think, wow, winners do it with a headache. Meaning throwing up, don't have time, get in the damn game. You know, his father was murdered, sad, go get in the game. Like, winners do it when they're scared. Winners do it when they're not totally prepared. Winners do it when they have a headache. And I'm not saying winner like, we're all winners. We all have that next level leadership inside of us. And sometimes it just doesn't get unlocked until we take that step. Ogmandino, I love this, and I've repeated it way too many times, but in his book, The World's Greatest Salesman, he said, most people let their emotions dictate their actions. He said, what if you switched it and let your emotions follow your actions? Act first, feel second. And I think that's some of the same philosophy. Is you were scared. Listen, I hear your terminology and you got to get rid of it. I shouldn't be in this room. You've done millions and millions of dollars. You've helped countless people around the world. You deserve that seat at the table. But the only way you got there was taking uncomfortable action each time when you're scared. When you left here, it was a whole new world, a whole new business. You went and did it. You took the action and let your emotions catch up, at least in my opinion.
Well, can I tell you something? So, right, if you remember, I mean, I was competing with people for that launch for mastermind.com that it makes zero sense that I won, quite frankly. If you think about the amount of like Ed Milet and Russell Brunson, in fact, Russell was my mentor. So, and I beat Russell, right? And the only mistake that I made was I kept visualizing myself winning number two. And I'm going to tell you something. I pictured, once I finally made the decision, I had to quit asking how and I had to ask who. And you said the worst advice you can get is bad advice, right? And or learning from somebody who hasn't done the thing because they're just going to teach you wrong. It's in your book, Millionaire Yep. Success Habits. And I cannot tell you how true that is. And even sometimes the people that love you the most will tell you not to do it, right? My dad, I am his favorite person in the world. And my dad he was the best dad growing up. He still is. He's one of my best friends. And when I wanted to become a coach, originally to teach real estate agents, I was making about $1.8 million a year in GCI. I was 47 years old. My dad said, honey, we love you, but normal people at 47, nobody's going to pay you to coach them. It took me 14 years to make $1 million in a year. After hiring the right coach, I made $1 million in 11 months. Then I paid the higher price, and now we've averaged $1.55 million a month the past 28 months in a row.
Wow.
So we did $18 million in our business last year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Well, it's giving me more now, but thanks to you giving me the courage to start this new business. Now we're helping a lot more people. So my goal is, I really wanted to, I know people say this a lot, like, oh, I want to help people, but I really do have a love for people. I love people. And I'm the one that wants to hug everybody, right, when I see him. And I was like, how can I, in fact, my manifesto says that I make a positive impact on the world. And I was thinking, I can't just do it with just realtors, right? I'm never going to be able to make that. So now I'm teaching people the same model that are, and they're all coaches that are then helping other people. So now I really, truly am able to really make this big impact. But I wouldn't have been able to do that had I just, you know, I have this thing called the monetization multiplier. And it's like, the more people you can reach at one time, and you can reach like you do, right? Think about how many people you're helping just from this podcast, from mastermind.com, from all the things that you're doing. You're able to add a massive amount of value to a large amount of people all at one time. And when you can add more value to more people and make more of an impact, you're going to influence them, and which also positively influences yourself. And then you're going to be able to make more money, right? More impact, more influence on a mass scale, make more money. I would not have been able to do that, number one, as a real estate agent. Number two, just only being a real estate coach, because there's I can't reach the masses. Whereas now I can, you know, so. Wow.
Right. Still, even though you see it, right, you still have to take that bold step forward into it. I'm so impressed. I mean, I love the fact that you're at $18 million a year in revenue. That's incredible. You shocked me there, and I love it. I want to ask you something, if you don't mind me switching gears. And this is for me, and this is for all the other men out there and the women, so we all better understand as we all grow. I don't say this because I'm on with you, Krista, but I truly believe this is the decade of the woman entrepreneur. I think it's time. Have things always been as fair as they should be? Probably not. Definitely not. And are they as fair as they could be? Probably not. Maybe definitely not. But I believe it's more equal than it's ever been. And I think that's a fair statement we can all agree between men and women. And I'm watching, because this is what Tony Robbins and I do. I'm watching the women exponentially grow at a rate that is unbelievable. And I think we have more visibility in this than most, especially in coaching and course creation and the self-education industry. And so I believe this is the decade of the women entrepreneur. And I have an affinity towards that, because I watched my mom when I was a kid, when my parents divorced. She worked three jobs to make 90 bucks a week. And I knew she was smarter. I knew she had more to give. She just couldn't. She had to raise three kids, and my dad didn't pay child support. So I probably cheer women on doing this more than most, only because I watched my mom go through hell, and she should have had her own business. My mom should have excelled. She's an amazing woman with an amazing heart. She just never gave herself enough credit. So sorry, that was a long way to get to this question. Long way to get to this question. As a man in business, what don't I know that you face to be the successful entrepreneur you are as a woman that I would have no idea?
Ooh, that's such a good question. You know what's so funny is people ask me all the time if I've experienced, like, not racism, but sexism. I'm not a feminist. I love women, but I've never considered myself a feminist, so to speak, if that makes sense, even though I want women to succeed. But I didn't notice it as much as a real estate agent, although people used to always tell me, oh, the reason you do so well, Chris, is because you're pretty. I heard that forever, being in the top 1%.
Yeah, that's got to piss you off. I would piss me off, right?
And I'd be like,
I'm outworking you, outthinking you, outreading you, yes, out-hustling you, work more hours and more dedicated. No, it's because I got blue eyes, really? Like, that would piss me off. So that's
what you just said is exactly in my mind what I had said. You just keep on thinking that. Well, I keep kicking your butt every single year, because I was like number one in my area, like year after year after year after year. And I heard that all the time. But I didn't really feel like I experienced the sexism until recently. And I was just at this training these high-level entrepreneurs, right? And this man got on stage and, like, mansplained me. I mean, literally mansplained. I never knew what mansplaining was.
I don't even know what that is. You're going to have to fill me in on
that. It's like, basically, it's like, I was doing the training. It was my training. They were there to learn my $1 million month model. And all of a sudden, you could tell that this individual did not do any of the homework. So the other people in the audience said to him, "You did not do your homework. It's all there. I've never seen anything so detailed and organized. She's literally giving you the business in a box. You," and one of the ladies said, "You are mansplaining her right now. Like, get down." And I was just like, whoa. And I kind of started doubting myself because I'm going, I know it's in there. I know we've done that. But it was just, I've never experienced it until now. So I think what we go through is that I think it's hard for some men. For some men, it's hard to see. I'm a very alpha male, female, right? Very alpha, but also at the same time, very, you know, I want to be liked probably too much, you know, and let it get in my head. But I think that that's what they don't get. It's like,
Okay, so let me frame this another way. No, thank you for sharing it. If there's women listening right now, how can men be more supportive? And secondly, for those afraid to start, you're on the other side. You started, you went through that. Just because you had, excuse my language, a jackass make you feel uncomfortable in one scenario. Maybe he didn't even realize he was doing it. I don't know. I don't want to judge him. Maybe he was in a bad place. Maybe he was intimidated. Maybe he's insecure. Maybe he had a breakthrough and he's going to apologize to you and he's going to grow and be a better man for the people around him. So not judging. My whole point is this. Even though you went through that, wouldn't you do it all over again?
Oh, 1,000%. Like that. And then there, on the other hand, there's people like you, and there's another gentleman that I've recently met, Jason Flanagan, who is just absolutely brilliant. And he's been just so kind, right? And just giving me so much of his time and his attention. And for that, I'm so grateful for. He goes out of his way to understand that we are just like you. We are the same, and just make people feel comfortable. You know, I think sometimes men do a thing where they make you feel uncomfortable. I can't say they make you. We allow ourselves to feel a certain way, right? Nobody can ever make you do anything, but there's been times where I have felt like, you know, sexual or innuendos or even saying things like the reason why you do well is because you're pretty. It's like, no, I'm freaking pretty smart. And I've spent over $1 million in the past 5 years for my own personal education to become the best that I can be.
Yeah.
You know, well, I'm not answering this the right way, but.
No, I appreciate it. And no, listen, this is all good stuff. And I think something to remember is, I would bet to say if you're listening and you have a career, you face different challenges with being a woman in a career than you would face being an entrepreneur woman. Doesn't make one better than the other, but I've had a lot of my students over the last 27 years who are women and said in a career, they seem to promote the men. And then they were worried if I was going to have a baby, maybe I wouldn't be here. Or, you know, those types of things that as a man, we wouldn't see. That's why I like bringing this out in the open, because I think most people, especially listening to this podcast, are caring, empathetic, great humans that if they hear it, they go, oh shit, I'm going to make sure I don't do that. Right? So I think they're in this career, could it be a man would be promoted over you, or should I keep quiet? Or if I speak up too much, I intimidate the men around me. I think that's some of the things I've heard over the years in a career, while also simultaneously as an entrepreneur, I think it's more envy and things like, oh, you're getting ahead of me because of the way you look, or you're doing those things. But here's what I want to say is I don't have all the answers. But here's what I love. I love interviewing somebody like Krista and so many other amazing women entrepreneurs that just didn't give a crap, that you focused on you, that there was no one else to blame, even though you could have. There's no, I could have made it, but. And I think that's why I love doing interviews like this, is I want to inspire everybody. I'd love to inspire men to keep moving forward and maybe be lookout for the badass women in your life that should be alongside of you or above you, right? And I want to inspire some women who are sitting on the sidelines right now thinking this is maybe a man's world or you can't get ahead. Maybe you had a bad experience in your life, in your career, and I'm sorry, but don't let that dictate what everybody's going to be or what you can be. I always say this, my wife, who's an entrepreneur, she has the greatest instinct of anybody I've ever met. And most women I do have a deeper level. Men, you know what I'm talking about right now. Your wife or your significant other, your mom or your sister, when you meet somebody like, that's not a good person. Are they right 100% of the time or what? Always, right? They have a feeling. They can look around corners. They have a deeper level of empathy. And that is what this world needs. And that's why I think it is the decade of the woman entrepreneur. I'll leave it there. I just love seeing it. I want to promote every single, if you're listening right now, get a woman in your life and put some wind behind her. If she's not here, if she's not listening to this, if she's not listening to personal development or a part of something bigger, if she doesn't even know what Own Your Future means, maybe it's time you could push a little wind behind their back, because the tide rises all boats.
And you know, one thing too, I've learned is like, I learned if I see somebody else that can do something, I've learned to realize I can do it too. So I have that mentality. If I still, for example, I have one of my mentors, he does $1 million a month residual. And I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. And I think that we have to really get, like, we have so much untapped potential. And as long as Tony Robbins talks about the success cycle, right? As long as you take effective action, not just massive action, but effective action, we are capable of so much. It's still, I was just on a plane this past weekend, and it still amazes me that we can be in the sky. Like, I didn't even realize the plane took off. I mean, we put people on the moon. I know that sounds like, oh, we do that, but we have so much potential. And for the women that are listening and the men and everyone else, I really believe that if you can just get your thoughts right, because everything happens from your thoughts, right? What are you thinking about? Then that turns into your actions. And then that turns into your results, your life, all stemming from your thoughts. So I'm always focusing on what I'm doing well. Like today, I'm going to congratulate myself. Good job. You're on, the number one podcast in the world. Good job, Christopher Marketing. Like, I'm looking at all the things that I do well, because it trains my brain to look for how to do more of those things.
I love that. So listen, I want to shift gears again. I love talking about sales and marketing, influence, persuasion through the lens of service, through the lens of love, through the lens of caring. It takes away the mystique. It takes away the fear. It takes away the ickiness. Selling is not evil. Nothing exists in this world unless a sale is made. That's a fact. There's no businesses built unless there's a sales mechanism attached. And we all have different ways of doing it. You had a little head start because you were in real estate. That's sales, right? So you got comfortable with it. I've been hired. I don't have time anymore. I've been hired as a keynote speaker, and I've been to amazing women's events, right? With 5,000 women in the audience, and say, who in here wants another level? And everybody's fired up. They say, who in here is a little apprehensive or a lot apprehensive to selling? And 80% of the hands will go up, right? Selling has kind of got a bad deal, men and women. I'm just saying, I'm asking you as a woman, was it a little harder to ask for sales, or did you kind of slowly get into it because of real estate? Because I'll see powerful influencers, men and women, that are serving, giving a lot back to the world, building reciprocity, changing lives, and then they finally have a product, a book, a course, a coaching program, and they are petrified to ask for money. And they feel like they're hurting people, where I look at it differently. If you have something that could change somebody's life, you're actually hurting them by not offering it. So I'd love to know your perspective, your advice on sales, marketing, something about around influence that makes you lean into it, not lean away.
I love selling. I do, because there's actually so many different studies on people and their ability to change. There's actually one study called the Change or Die study, where people were told that if you don't change your behavior, they had heart problems, you're going to die. After a year, 9 out of 10 people with death on the line could not make the change. However, there was another group that had coaching, accountability, and support. 77% of those people were able to make the change. You are 7 times more likely to make change, even with death on the line, when you have help. So I believe that it is my moral, ethical obligation to sell as many people as I can, because I know they are not going to be able to get there without my help. They need it, right? I mean, I have 21 years of being in the real estate industry, specializing on digital marketing for the past 12 years. And it's going to millions of dollars I spent. When you really can teach somebody collapsing timeframes, right? All of the, Napoleon Hill says you take the knowledge, the influence, the resources, the money of that person. And that's what I'm giving them. So I love selling. And he who has the most conviction wins the debate. The more confident you are, I know that what I do works.
Let me stop you right there. Mm-hmm. Okay. You got to remember where you are right now. You're doing $18 million a year. You were a top real estate agent. There was a time you weren't any of those.
Yes.
And there was a time you were sent to an open house and you had to sell somebody, and you're like, oh, I got to ask for the money. What if they offer me less? there's so many people listening right now that might be in that spot. We have all groups. We have some people doing more than 18 million and some doing 8 million and some doing 180,000 and some doing 18,000, some looking to start today. So I'd love to have you put yourself back in those shoes before you were Krista doing 18 million, before you were Krista, the number one real estate agent in your areas, before you were Krista, the 1% coach. You're just Krista that had to learn how to ask for the money. Where did you borrow or find the courage then?
You just put me back on my very first listing appointment. Just so you know, I remember being scared to death. Like, I mean, scared to death. But I think the more prepared you are, I've always been one of the most prepared. I've had to work the hardest, but I'm usually one of the most prepared. There'll be very few people that are as prepared as, I think you're the same, right? I try to be as prepared.
So give me an example of preparedness for somebody. Like, what does that mean, be prepared?
So I will watch a video on sales training, you know, 18 times, 27 times until I have it absolutely memorized and it's natural. That's me. I'm the person that will go to bed the latest and wake up the earliest. And I work very, very hard. I have to, because I have a learning disability, right? Essential processing disorder. So I have to work harder, but I will outwork most people. And I think that gives me confidence going into knowing that, you know, I'm really prepared, if that makes sense. And I'm still scared to death. Like I remember, you know, one of my goals was I wanted to speak on stage, and I even in my manifesto at a broker's tour one time in front of like 15 people, I called myself Krista Miller. That is my maiden name. My name is Krista Mayshore because I was so petrified, right? When I spoke at Funnel Hack Live, I thought I was going to die. Like I was so, so scared. And I mean—
But you did it anyway. So what is the driving force that pushed you, is knowing you want more, being prepared, serving other people? We all need that thing that right before you go out and say, I shouldn't do this, but I must. What is your must to have you prepare, to watch the videos, to go out on the stage, even though you want to throw up, and you said your maiden name? What is your must or your deep conviction?
The more that I resist, the more I must persist is kind of how I look at it. Like the more I'm nervous about something, that means I really, really need to do it. But I think a lot of it, you know, honestly, it stems from not living at home since I was 13, not being able to afford any of the nice clothes. I had wore Avon jewelry. My friends were wearing the TIs. I think it has a lot to do with that. You know, I was working all through high school. You know, since I was 13, I've been working literally like.
Yeah. And listen, I'm asking you these questions because I think it's great stuff for all of us to ask ourselves, right? Because so many times we have that desire for next level. If you're listening to this podcast, the one thing we definitely have in common is that you know you were meant for more, and you're just investigating ways to help get you there faster. And you have to say, am I lacking the capabilities? Am I lacking the strategy? Do I need to grab a strategy session and really figure this out? Am I lacking the tactics? Do I have a blank page in front of me and I just need to know where to start? So I need to look at where other people started. Or is it way upstream? Am I just lacking the confidence because I have an old belief or an old story? So the reason we do this, and the reason I love to ask these questions and sometimes I drill down, is because if one person goes, oh crap, I'm still thinking I'm the same girl I was or guy I was when I was 19, I need to shift my story. I need to upgrade, or I need to gain new skills, or I got to work a little harder, or I got to stop procrastinating, or I need a stronger why. That's why we do this. It's just... Yeah. Listen, this podcast is really here to give you some capabilities, but really to disturb you by not living into who you're supposed to be. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. That would be an absolute tragedy at the end of our lives to realize we left some on the table.
You know, it's so funny you said that, because I almost did not do your launch. And in fact, I said no. When they first asked me, I said no. And then Nicole was great, by the way. And I remember thinking to myself, you are going to regret this. I get to go in a couple of weeks with you and Tony Robbins and nine other top affiliates and spend 4 days together talking about marketing and life. And I mean, thinking that I won number two and we have this amazing experience, got to come see you and spend, you know, pick your brain for 4 hours and you get to go to that. Thinking, if I would not have tried, I would have always constantly wondered. Right. I would have wondered, what if my goal was just to get to be in the top, you know, 10, 20. I was like, that's all I was shooting for. But once I said yes, I was like, I literally visualized myself sitting at the table with you. And I can tell you, Tony's here, his wife's here, you're next to him, his wife's there, I'm right there, Russell's on this side. Like, I visualized that. Once I said yes, it was no going back. I made it my mission to just not ask how, because when I asked how, who the heck would have known how, right? How am I ever going to be Russell or Ed or anything? You can't ask how, you just have to do it. And I think so many people are always wondering and how, and no, you just got to go. You just have to start, you know? And if you ask me how I did so well my first year in real estate, how I sold 69 homes my first year, it was because my husband had just left me at the time with two little girls, a brand new house, and zero money in our accounts. I absolutely knew that I had to. I remember sitting on Thanksgiving, a bottle of wine in, don't judge me, like just bawling because the new girlfriend was driving my car, picking up my daughters on Thanksgiving and feeling this big, right? My husband had an affair before. How I let it happen again, I don't know. Just like sobbing, letting myself feel sorry for myself. And I looked in the backyard. We had just bought a new house. So in California, it's dirt. And I said to myself, you are going to fill that backyard with the most gorgeous pool. You're going to fill it with beautiful memories. You're going to keep your daughter safe in this house. And people ask me how, the only reason was how was because I knew I had to keep the girl safe. So when people talk about knowing your why, like that was the only reason I could say. It's because I was adamant about keeping my daughter safe because of what had happened.
Can I tell you something? That this whole interview was worth that. No, I mean that because for you to have the conviction you have and the work ethic you had, I knew there had to be a deep why. I know you were running away from a painful childhood, but I was wondering when the transition was. Like, when was that pivot for you? And it was that time, that moment, that you know, dirt-filled backyard and someone else picking up your kids. And I can only imagine, I've been through some things like that in my life, and I can only imagine the loneliness, the desperation, the feeling sorry for yourself, and all rightfully so. Like when people say, I shouldn't feel sorry for myself, you can, you just can't live in it because it doesn't serve anyone. It doesn't serve your daughters. It doesn't serve the version of you. And I guess if nothing else from this podcast today, realize that when you have the conviction of why, you don't have to go through what Krista went through or other people go through. You have your own circumstance. Your circumstance might be that your life looks amazing on the outside and you know you're dead on the inside and are dying for what's next. I don't care what it is, but when you dig into it and it becomes the ugly you want to run away from, that is okay. In my opinion, maybe a therapist would tell me I'm wrong. But if you're running away from something painful and you get to run into who you're supposed to be, then I will use that pain as leverage. I will use that pain. I'm sorry you had to go through that, but look at what it's done for your family. Look at what that pain used wisely has done for your children. Look what it's done for all the people that you've impacted around the world. We're sitting here together. We're going to spend some time together in Florida. None of that would have happened if you used that as your anchor, not the wind behind your sail. I got a question for you. Shifting is, do you have a question for me?
Yes. Okay. So I'm glad you asked that. So right now I feel like I'm kind of at a plateau in my business where I can't, like I said, we've been around 1.5 million, even with the real estate market changing, but I'm plateaued. It's like I'm at this, you know, between 1.2, 1.5 million.
A month. You're talking a month. Yeah.
A month. Yes. And we're stuck. I can't seem to get, well, now that's just with that one business. Obviously the $1 million a month model we're doing money on that one, but I want to continue to expand the coaching business. And we can't seem to do it. I'm trying to buy more traffic. I'm trying to do, you know, like I'm trying to do everything.
So the best advice I could give you, I've been there and I know what that feels like. And I know what it's like to be there when you're doing $100,000 a year and $100,000 a month and $100,000 a week and $100,000 a day and $100,000 by lunch. So I've been in all those phases and I've been stuck in all of them. And usually when you're at that point, it just means that you've maximized, I really want you to hear this, you've maximized everything that you currently once dreamt up. So you envision, what I love about entrepreneurs is we make stuff up and then we make it real. And what happens as you grow, I want you to hear this, Your innovation, Krista, I don't have all the answers. I can't give you a solid answer. It would take a day of consulting. But my intuition tells me this. Your innovation, your drive, your heart, your seeing an invisible future and then making it a reality, invisible to others, not to you, but you painted the picture, you got there. And then when you get to a certain size, $15, $18 million a year, it's unbelievable. All of a sudden, it can't all be on you. You got to have processes and standard operating procedures, and you need KPIs and metrics and cost per lead and cost per acquisition and dollar per lead over 3 months, 90 days, 6 months. And then you start going, oh my God, and now we don't need an accountant anymore. We need an actual CFO. That's too much money for an accountant. And I don't need just a personal assistant. I need an executive assistant. And we need a different building, and we need different servers, and we need ClickFunnels, and we need this back on. And oh my God, and maybe we should use HubSpot, because HubSpot allows you to incorporate all the different businesses. And oh my God, we just start recording calls, and let's make sure we're FTC compliant. They're a good organization, making sure we're doing it right, but you got to be FTC compliant. And then all of a sudden, you go from the innovator trailblazer to maintaining a company, and you don't even realize when that happened. And it's not a fault. It's just you have to say, oh my God, I'm not the crazy dreamer anymore. I am the CEO leader of a company with SOPs and KPIs and metrics and people I didn't even know we had hired for us. I didn't even know we hired that person that works from home. Those things happen as you grow. So here's what I'd say. Put your innovative cap back on. Rob an hour a day, 3 hours a week, 3 hours on a Thursday, and just dream up the crazy crap you used to dream up before you were doing $18 million a year. Outside the box, I am betting to say if you're at $18 million, you have maximized everything you've ever thought of. And I would say it needs Krista. It needs, you know, when we start growing, what I tell everybody, like, I wish I had a twin or I could hire this out. I'm like, no. Outsource most everything, but don't outsource your unique ability that got you there. Always be that person. You know, we just did this big training with Matthew McConaughey. Unbelievable. Day one, 2.8 million people watched. Oh my God, amazing. Oh, right. It was incredible. And I got to meet this man who just has a heart to serve. He's just a really good human. And I'm so happy to get his course and everything out to people. But in that, thank God I have 130 people just in this company that work on all those pieces. But there's a few things that no one else will work on. The day of the event, that is my architecture. The way to lay out the course and the way we presented people, that is my architecture. Some of the emails that he wrote, we went back and forth. I know the way the emails should go out and what the registration page. People like, you're doing these millions and got this huge monster business. You're still doing that? I'm like, yes, because that's what got me here. But I don't do a million. I don't take out my own garbage. I don't change my own light bulbs. I don't do what accounting does or production does. Or I get to do this podcast that I literally walk in, sit down. I don't even know where the microphone, how to hook a microphone up or how to record this or how to edit. I didn't do any of this today. I just sat down and got to talk to you. But the things that I know that took me from the dreaming to more success than I could ever imagine, I don't mess with that, Krista. And I stay engaged. So there's lots of answers. And you might be thinking, no, I'm thinking of innovation. I promise you there's another level of innovation for this company that you're not quite thinking of, but you got to break the mold. And I'm not saying risk the company. Don't risk what you're currently doing, but you got to break the mold. You have to do something different, innovative, bring in a new group, bring in the people that work under them. Maybe you're dealing with them and you create a whole new department that helps them find the perfect assistant. And you have a company that trains assistants of really kick-ass real estate agents. I don't know what it is. There's something that you're not seeing that if you give your time to look through that lens of innovation again, I promise you next week, next month, or 3 months, you're going to go, oh my God, that's it. And you'll once again bring this crazy innovative idea to your team. They'll think you're nuts because you see it and they don't. And you're 6 months away from 25 million or 22 million.
Okay. You know, you are like that, you know, because I remember when you showed me a picture of you during mastermind.com and you were like, I leave nothing to chance. And you sent me a picture of you working on your slides and perfecting it and studying. So that's what your genius is. And you are right. You do still do the thing that that you're the best at. So you're right. I need to, it'll happen. It's going to
No, that's it. Just remember that. Krista, how can people find you?
They can find me, all my handles are at kristamayshore.com, or just Krista Mayshore. I'm getting far, at Krista Mayshore. And if anyone's interested in learning more, you know, just text me, DM me. I'd be happy to help. I love hearing from people. And if they're interested in learning more about the Million Dollar Month Holiday, you can just go to kristamayshore.com/team.
All right. That sounds amazing. Well, I appreciate you, Krista. Thanks for opening up. Thanks for sharing your life. I promise you today, there is someone, if not thousands and thousands of people who were inspired, who could take something and put it in their own life to make a shift. And for those of you listening still or watching, thank you for making one of the top podcasts in the world. Own Your Future has definitely been a slogan that's been a driving force in my life, because if I don't own it, someone else will. If you love it, subscribe, follow, like, share, tell a friend to join us. We'll see you next week.